These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Kilach is, of course, in the main well known, beginning with the sending of the Meraglim, and concluding, as we know, with the Parsha of Tzitzis. I may have mentioned before, but there is a symmetry which belongs to Parshas Shelach, which does not exist in any other Parsha, and that is at the beginning of the Parsha we have the Yosuru Eseres Kenan, and at the end of the Parsha we have the Los Osuru. The beginning of the Parsha we have Uri Isem Esoretz, and at the end of the Parsha we have Uri Isem Oso. And Uri Isem is a word which occurs only four times. So therefore there is that beautiful symmetry about our Parsha. The actual words Shelach Lecho, according to Rashi, are to indicate that the sending is not a command. As Rashi points out, Ledatecho. Ani eini mitzavaroch. I'm not commanding you. If you would like to send, send. Now that is accepted, and that is well known, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never explicitly commanded the Bnei Yisrael to send Meraglim. But Hashem said, after being approached by Moshe Rabbeinu, if that is what they want, then we send. Then you may send. I mention this as an introduction to Pasuk Gimel. Vayishlach Osam Moshe Mimidbar Paron, and Moshe Rabbeinu sends them from the wilderness of Paron, Alpi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem. That's the literal translation. The implication is, Alpi Hashem, that there is a command of some type. How do we then reconcile Alpi Hashem with Rashi's comments of Ledatecho Ani Eine Mitzavaloch? It is true that Rashi on the words Alpi Hashem says, Birishu so, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permission. But as the Gurari and the Mizrahi point out, the actual words Alfi Hashem don't convey Birishus with Hashem's permission. On the contrary, they convey the idea of command. We have a number of answers to consider regarding this question, and the first is found in the Kli Yakov. Lo hoyo hashlichus Alfi Hashem. The actual sending of the Meraglim, says the Kli Yakov, was not Alfi Hashem. It was not by divine command. Shaharei omalu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shelach Lecho, which is Ledatecho, if you want to. So the Alfi Hashem cannot refer to the actual sending of the Meraglim. Elo rotzolomar. But the words Alfi Hashem come to indicate Shahashlichus mimidbar poron hoyo alpi Hashem. That when Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Bnei Yisrael want to send spies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want to, send them. I am not telling you whether to send them or not. But if you want to send them, I insist that you send them from Midbar Poron. So the command in the Shlichus of the Meraglim is not whether to send or not. The command is that if you want to send, you must send them from Midbar Horon. Shehashlichus mimidbar Horon hoyo alfi Hashem, which was Matzah Horishon, which was the first journeying mechatzeros, from Chatzeros, which of course was where they had been at the end of last week's Parsha. So why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu anxious that they send me Midbar Horon? On the contrary, you would have thought that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not too impressed with the request to send on the first place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted to delay until they came as near as possible to Eretz Canaan. I mean, what's the hurry? It's not like there's anything meritorious in sending. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to send me Midbar Horon, if in fact this was the first journeying that they had made after they had been in Chatzeros? Ki lefi divrei Hashem yisporach, because we know, according to Hashem's own words, Lo hoyo maskim lishlo achklal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have agreed to send them. Ach lorov haftzorosom lo micho bohem. But because they were so anxious and they pressured, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't prevent them. Umikol mokum, nevertheless, you can still say, hoyo loli achir zman hashlichus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should still have delayed the time of sending. Shehareimi midbar poron kama masos at somuch lohoretz. Because we know from Poron there are still many stations until we come near to Eretz Canaan. For hoya lo lishloach mechaniyo acheres hasmucha leYeretz Yisrael yaisem imidbar Poron. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu delay if in fact the sending of the spies was so unacceptable in his eyes? Ela lefi shechaniyo zu shel midbar Poron. The reason was because they're camping in midbar Poron. Was the station which they came to first after having journeyed from Chatzeros. And we know in Chatzeros, Shekoro Shom Maitse Shel Miriam. And there in Chatzeros, the episode of Miriam had taken place when she and Aharon spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. V'choshav Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now entertains the following thought. Now is the place. This is the place to send them from. Ki korov hu amaisa hu, because they are now going to be sent when the episode of Miriam and Aaron is fresh in their minds and they know what happens when you speak Lashon Hara. So maybe they will be guarded against speaking Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael because they will have a living proof so fresh in their memories. Is ulai yikechu horeshoyim muster. Maybe these people will take some Musa from the episode of Midian. The Ulai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid, quote unquote, Barov Hayomim, that if he will delay sending the spies after the passage of many days till they come to a nearer station to Eretz Yisrael, Yishkechu Ma'ashekoro LeMiriam. They will forget what happened to Midian. Memories are so short. So therefore, Ma'ashekoro V'Alpi Hashem, when the Pasuk says, that they were sent al pi Hashem, that's Musav, that is referring to the fact that they were sent mimidbar Poron, below al etzem hashlichus. That is the first interpretation that is offered in regard to the apparent contradiction between ledatecho ani eini mitzava and al pi Hashem. There is an alternate interpretation of al pi Hashem, which you have from the Emes Liyakov. And this is something extremely interesting. As you know, Rabbi Yaakov often offers observations, interpretations, which are, to say the least, novel, but always in a traditional way. He begins his observations as follows. As you know, the listing of the people who are sent, the Meraglim, it's a long list. In the middle of that list, you find in Pasuk Chet, Lematei Ephraim Hoshea Binun. You know and I know, his name has been changed from Hoshea to Yehoshua many moons ago. But he appears here as Hoshea. What is rather interesting, says Rabbi Yankov, is Verat Achakein the Pasuk Tezayin. It's only in verse 16, Liachar Shehimshich Im Sheor Hashemos, after all the other names have been mentioned. The Sikmom, and they have been, as it were, summed up in the words, Eile Shemosu Anoshim Asher Sholach Moshe Losulis Oretz, and then, and only then, does it say, Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Binun Yehoshua. So you would have imagined, if you want to point out to me the fact that Hoshea's name was changed to Yehoshua, mention it when Hoshea is mentioned. Why delay 7 or 8 or 9 Sukkim? Apart from which, his name has been changed long before Parshas Shelach Lecha. It's been changed already in Parshas Beshalach. Vayoma Moshe Yehoshua v'chalonu anoshim, he's already Yehoshua there. Says Rabbi Yaakov, v'asher nira bozeh, what appears to me to be an answer to this question can be understood behekdeim when I preface when I draw your attention to something else, in Pasuk Gimel where it says, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Mimidbar Paron Alpi Hashem. And the Rabbi Yaakov says, Shetevos acharonos elu lichura miyusoros. These words, Alfi Hashem, appear to be superfluous. Verashi hirgish bozeu pirish bezu aloshen. And Rashi understood that there is a problem with this phrase, and he said the words Alfi Hashem means pirishuso, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permission, shelo ikev al yado, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put up any objection. Says Reb Yaakov, avul zeh dochuk miyod. Alfi Hashem does not mean with God's permission. Ukvar hirgishu bozeh horeim v'hagurariyeh. And the Mizrahi and Gurariyeh have already noted that they are not too thrilled with that interpretation of Alfi Hashem. Because whenever you find that expression, hakavonahi, the intention usually is shenase hadover, that whatever is being done b'tzivui Hashem, by command of God, o bigazer or so, or by His decree. And if that is so, therefore, it is difficult to understand that Rashi's interpretation is most difficult to entertain, because Alfi Hashem usually means by divine command, and to suggest that Alfi Hashem means with divine permission, it doesn't fit into the way that phrase is usually used in Tanakh. So therefore, we have a problem. What do the words Alfi Hashem mean in this context? Says Rabbi Yaakov as follows. And as I say, this is a major statement. Avol yanias daiti, in my humble opinion, near it appears. De bemilim elu higdiro hatorah es etzem hashlichus. It appears to me, says Rabbi Yaakov, that these words encapsulate the entire character of what it was that took place with the sending of the Meraglim. V'hainu. Why I mean is as follows. L'fima sheheveisi es divrei Rashi v'parshas Devarim. Based on a comment of Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Devarim. D'miyad v'techilas hashlichus. Rashi's comments are to the following effect. That immediately when the people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and suggested that we want to send Meraglim, Kvar Hevin Moshe Rabbeinu already detected Sheshorish Mishalosam, that the root cause of their request, Lishloach Anoshim Losure Soorets, to send people to spy out the land, Humitam Chose Bitchonam B'Yeshuas Hashem. It was because in their heart of hearts, they had fallen in their emunah and bitochon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukevi yachol, and their request was the equivalent of saying, Ein hu yachol la'azor lohem, that they have to take things into their own hands. They are not willing to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to conduct the capture of Eretz Yisrael, and they should be passive bystanders. And now Rabbi Yaakov explains to us a very important cloud. Let me just say it out, and then we'll have a look inside. The truth of the matter is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to do for the individual, the level at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to involve himself in the life of the individual or of the nation, is directly proportional to the level of emunah and bitochon that a person has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Jewish people would have remained on that supreme level of emunah, there would have been no need for them to send Meraglim. There would have been no need for them to wage war. Because if you look in Parshas Bahalosah of last week, you will see there, what does it say? V'chisovou milchama v'yatzechem al atzor atzorei resechem. So what do you do? It doesn't mean you go for your gun. V'hariyosem v'chatzotzerov. You sound the chatzotzerov. V'no shantem. V'yehi v'nesoa ha'orom v'yomer Moshe. Says the Sephorno, had we not descended in our emunah and bitochon, and as a lack of supreme faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, entertain the sending of Meraglim, all we would have needed to do would have been, when we go out in front of the enemy, Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, Kuvo Hashem v'yafutu ayevecha v'yanusim esanecha mipanecha, QED. So the level at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to involve himself in the life of the individual and nation, and he quotes the Ramban, is directly proportional to the level of emunah that the individual and the nation have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kivon Shekein, and since Moshe Rabbeinu understood that their suggestion to send the Meraglim represents a fall in their emunah, Havin, Moshe Rabbeinu now understands Sheshuv e efshar yihyeh linhog b'milchama zu b'hanhoga nisis b'levad. Moshe Rabbeinu knows from the very moment the request comes that all those laws concerning what you do in milchama, as are contained in Parshas Baal Osecha, it's all over. They pertain to a nation that was on a different level of emunah, whose emunah was 100% intact. That was the situation under which Kuvo Hashem and the Hariyosim Echatzotzeros would apply. But now that they want to send the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu knows it's going to have to be a different war. V'hu alti jivrei haramban b'parshas b'chukosai. And these comments of mine are based on the words of the Ramban in Parshas b'chukosai, where he says, that the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the life of the individual teluyo v'yomedesi depends b'shiur ha-bitochon sheyesh li'odom b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the amount of bitochon that the individual has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hainu meaning she'im higia ha-odom lidei madrego, if a person has achieved the madrego of emunah she'ein hu doe klal al asido, that he doesn't concern himself and he has no worries about his future, with some call miftacho b'Hashem and places his entire confidence in Hashem below shum hishtadlus, without any corresponding efforts on his own part, oz be emes oz lo Hashem, then in reality HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond in time and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him, but no say lo kol sorko, and will give him everything he needs. Avol miyad sheyored mi madrega zu. But as soon as he falls from this madrega, umaschil lihishtadel, and he starts to make his own efforts. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a little help from me. As soon as he starts that, oz b'yemes lo sovolo ha-yeshua ela v'derech ha-teva. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the modus operandi. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua will come, if indeed it does. But it will not come in a manner where the individual is totally uninvolved. It will now have to come in a natural way. A combination of the histadlus of the effort of the individual and the involvement to an extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a different type of hanhoga. It's a different type of conduct of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the first. So therefore, ulefizeh, bearing this in mind, Yoda Moshe Rabbeinu knew, Shekivon Shebo Olav Elov V'Bakosha Lishloach Meraglim, that now that they have come to him with a request to send the spies, Shuv Mukhrach Hulasos Kane, he has to. Because he can say to them, no, no, this is a war where you don't need spies. This is going to be a war where you don't need armies. This is going to be a war where you don't need weapons. He can't say that to them. Because had they been on that madrega, where the wars would have been waged without the armies and without the weapons, they wouldn't have come with the request to send Meraglim. The request to send Meraglim indicates they are not on that level of emunah which would have entitled them to victory without their own human participation. So now that Moshe Rabbeinu is faced with this particular situation, he has to send the spies, even if he did not originally want to, meaning he would have preferred had nobody ever approached him with a request in the first place, because that would have been an indication of the madrega on which the Jewish people were. Ulefizeh yoda Moshe, Shekivon shebo elov bebakosh leshloach meraglim shuv muchlechu la'asos kei. V'yachshov and in truth says Rabbi Yankel, v'yemes lo yinatzchu belo hishtadlus. They are not going to succeed in this war against Canaan without the participation of the people. Yotzi lefize, next paragraph. What emerges is as follows. That by requesting the sending of Meraglim to spy the land, Hifsidu, they lost, as Hayecholis, the ability, Lenaseach, as Halamed Aleph Melochim, to vanquish the 31 kings, the Ofan Nisiu Shmaimi, in a miraculous fashion. Hello? Yitzdarechu Lenahel Melchomo Kechola Melchomos, they will have to start war, like all other wars, ulenatzeach bederech hateva, and to win in a natural way. It does not mean, please don't misunderstand Rabbi Yankel, it doesn't mean that there were no miracles associated with the capture of Eretz Canaan, because the Rabbi Yaakov doesn't assume that we don't know Tanakh. We know what happened at Yericho. We know what happened with Shemesh beGibeon Dom. But what we are saying is that compared to what would have happened had we not come with this lack of emunah, which was represented in our request to send the Meraglim, then the victories and the wars would have been of a different type entirely. The Kivon Shekein, and since now Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that war is going to have to be conducted on a natural basis, Moshe Rabbeinu knows now that he has no alternative but to go about preparing for war, which is what the Meraglim being sent is the overture for. He has to prepare for war in the way in which future kings in Israel who conducted their wars in a natural way would have to proceed. And what is the way one proceeds in these wars? Hadinhu, the law is, she'ein osim klum, you don't do anything, v'lishemikodim sho'alim v'urin v'tumim heich umal asos. That's the first thing you do. When wars are conducted in a natural way, you still are not allowed to go to war until you have asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the urin v'tumim, what is the best way in which to vanquish the enemy? How to go about it? And in that way, you have to be guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukamo shenoach David HaMelech b'chol milchamo sov, ukadahu b'tanach b'havim ekomos, as David, King David, did in many, many wars, as is related in Tanakh. Now, hello, shekan v'inyin shiluach hamaraglim. However, in the case of sending the spies, lo hoyol ahem adayin ma'alish ol. They're not going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Urim V'Tumim, can we send? Because that they already know, Shalach Lecha L'Da'atecha, if you want to send, you can send. So what's the kasha that they have to ask from the Urim V'Tumim? Es mi yish, who they should send? The Zehu Peirish HaKra, and that is what the Pasuk means when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu sent them Al Pi Hashem. Meaning, the Urim V'Tumim told Moshe Rabbeinu who to send. V'hainu b'loshen ha'kosov v'parshas Pinchas, and you can find the words Al-Pi Hashem, Al-Pi, referring to Urim V'Tumim, when it says that Yehoshua should stand before Elazar HaKohen, v'sho'alo v'mishpat ha'urim l'fnei Hashem, Al-Pi v'yetzeyu v'al-Pi v'yavo. By its mouth, Urim V'Tumim, you go out, and by its mouth you come back. So Urim V'Tumim is called Al-Pi. V'hainu shaloshen zeh hukinu li Urim V'Tumim. V'hugda bozeh kol inyan ha'shlichus. So the words Al-Pi Hashem are telling you that once Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the request to send the spies represented a new change in the status of the Jewish people, and in the words of the Ramban, a change in our status vis-a-vis Emunah, represents a change in the way we are going to have to wage our wars. And therefore, whereas had we been the epitome of Emunah, we could have waged our wars without any intervention on behalf of the people of Israel whatsoever, That is no longer possible, because by requesting the sending of the spies, we are showing that we are not deserving of that level of involvement by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we have to do now, says Rabbi Yankovic, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that he is going to have to go about the sending of the spies, which is the prelude to war, as he would any other war which is conducted by the people, with divine assist. And the way you go about that is, you consult the Urim V'Tumim in order to determine various details that are necessary to know. In this case, all that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know was whom to send. And the list came back. And the list was, of course, as we have it. Therefore, we now understand, since the list came back from the Urim V'Tumim, the list went down from verse, whatever it was, right from the beginning to the end. That's the list. The list refers to Yehoshua by the name given to him at birth. That's his real name. There is no interruption made between Hoshea bin Nun and the fact that his name was changed to Yehoshua, because the verses that follow Pasuk Ches, in which Hoshea's name is mentioned, is part of the statement made by the Urim V'Tumim. And only when you've come to the end of the list which was given by the Urim V'Tumim, are we to be reminded that Hoshea bin Nun is none other than the Yehoshua whom we know from else. So that answers for Rabbi Yaakov two questions. Number one, what the words Al Pi Hashem mean. They mean for him Urim V'Tumim. And number two, they explain also why it is that the Torah delays mentioning the fact that Hoshea's name was changed to Yehoshua. And furthermore, we know full well that Hoshea's name was changed to Yehoshua long before Parshas Shelach Lecha. So the fact that it is mentioned here is not to tell you that it was just changed at this particular moment in time, but it is to tell you that the Hoshea mentioned by the Urim V'Tumim is none other than the Yehoshua whom we know from elsewhere. Okay. So now that we've looked into that particular matter, let us then pause for a moment and note something quite interesting. Whereas Yosef has two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, in Posuk Ches, it says, Lamatei Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun. However, when it comes to Posuk Yud Aleph, it says, Lamatei Yosef, Lamatei Menashe. It mentions Yosef in connection with Menashe, but not in connection with Ephraim. Says the Meshech Chochmah, get on the left side of your page. Why mention Yosef in connection with Menashe? Says Meshech Chochmah, Perush ma, the interpretation I suggest is as follows. Shehoyo golui beruach HaKodesh leMoshe. It was known to Moshe Rabbeinu through divine inspiration, Shemate Menashe, that when it came to the tribe of Menashe, half of the tribe of Menashe would take its inheritance on what we call Transjordan, and the other would take in that part of Eretz Yisrael proper. Therefore, Sholach Ish Mechetzi Hashavet, he made it his business to send a representative from the tribe of Menashe, from those people, Shechelkom Ba'oreth, who are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, who mechabev in Eretz Yisrael, and who loved Eretz Yisrael, because he wants the best report. If he sends it from those parts of that part of Menashe, which is going to take its portion in Chutz La'aretz, or Eivor HaYarden, shall we say more correctly, and who obviously turned their backs on Eretz Yisrael, he'll have a much poorer chance of getting a positive response from this particular tribe. And that is what we mean when we say Lamate Yosef, meaning that he sent a person from Shevet Menashe who was imbued with the Midah of Yosef And we know that Yosef was imbued with Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, Shechivev Eretz Yisrael, as the Medrash says, Shelo Kofar V'Yarso. He never denied the land he came from. He said, Ki Gunov Gunavti Me'Yeretz O'Ivrim, I have been stolen from the land of the Hebrews. And even when he was dying, he said to his family, V'Ali Semes Atzmo Saimizeh, bring up my bones. This is not our home. Bring my bones to Eretz Yisrael. But as the Meshech Chachma points out, V'chol Zeh Lo Ha'il. Kornishko. Even though he sent a member of that part of the tribe of Menashe that was eventually going to take its fortune in Eretz Yisrael proper, unfortunately, that representative betrayed the Midah of Yosef and adjoined himself with the other spies and brought back a bad report. Now, when I saw this Meshech Chochmah, assuming as we do, according to the Meshech Chochmah, that Moshe Rabbeinu has Ruach HaKodesh, so I said to myself, there seems to be a bit of a problem here. If Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Meshech Chochmah, is very unhappy about the prospect of sending that a member of the tribe of Menashe who are going to take their portion in Chutz Laaretz and Eivor HaYarden, how did he ever let a representative of the tribes of Reuven and Gad go? They also took their portion in Eivor HaYarden. So why was he only, according to the Meshech Chochmah, only concerned about the Chatzi Shevet Menashe who are going to take their portion in Eivor HaYarden? I don't want him in the group. But seemingly he's got no objection to a member of Reuven in the group and then a member of Gad in the group. Well, we have to offer a teretz. Chatzi Shevet Menashe opted to go to Eivor HaYarden without an excuse. Says Meshech Chochmah, they are the people who show Shein Mechavav in Esawaris. They've got no legitimate reason for opting for Eivor HaYarden. So that is why Moshe Rabbeinu was particular not to send a representative of that group. But to send Reuven and Gad is no steerer to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared not to send a representative of the Chatzi Shevet Menashe that was to take its inheritance in Eivor HaYarden. Okay. There is a very beautiful comment made by the Ari HaKadosh, Rav Yitzchok Luria. And he says on the words, V'hayomim yemei bikurei anovim, says the Arizal, that the chet of the Meraglim is atoned for every time a Jew brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why V'hayomim yemei bikurei anovim. Because the Meraglim, as it were, showed no love of Eretz Yisrael, and by bringing the Bikurim, we show our love for the land of Israel. Says the Menachem Zember, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levrach, one of the giants, Warsaw Ghetto is a lot, now is not the time to go into the Menachem Zember. And I've gone up. Says the Menachem Zember, Dr. Chabaraya for the Arizal. Because it says as follows, if you look at the Pasuk, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayavohu ad Nachal Eshkol, and they came to the brook of Eshkol, for the valley, Vayichrisu Misham Zemolo, and they cut down from there a branch, the Eshkol Anovim Echad, and one cluster of grapes, Vayisau Bamot Vishnoim, and they carried it on a pole, Umin Horimonim, and from the pomegranates, Umin Ateinim, and from the figs. So they took three things. They took grapes, they took figs, and they took pomegranates. Says the Menachem Zemba. Look at the Mishnah in Bikurim, in Peder Gimel Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says there, how do you set aside your Bikurim? Listen to the lotion of the Mishnah. Adam Yoreid Vesoch Sodehu. The beginning of the time when the fruits start to ripen, a man goes into his field. The Roet Eino Shebichra. If he sees a fig that has ripened, Eshkol Shebocha, or a cluster of grapes that's ripened, Rimon Shebocha, or a pomegranate that has ripened, Toshro Begemi, he ties a string around it, Biomer Harielu Bikurim. The three examples in the Mishnah in Bikurim are the three items that were brought back by the miracle. Eshkol, the Te'enim, and the Rimonim. says the Menachem Zember, there is a golden raya that the Arizal is correct in his assessment that the bringing of Bikurim is atonement for the plague of the Merah, or the sin of the Merah. I want to move on now to another episode, which we have looked at some time ago, and that is Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayihiyu v'nei Yisrael v'amidbar, and the v'nei Yisrael were in the wilderness, v'yimtsu ish mekoshesh eitzim v'yom ha-shabbos, and they found a man mekoshesh eitzim on Shabbos. Okay. The opening words of this pasuk are mystifying in the extreme. Where have they been up to now? Vayihiyu v'nei Yisrael v'amidbar. It would seem to be more than likely that that's where they have been and that's where they are. Says the Or HaChayim HaKadosh. Again, we come back to him. He is supreme. Vayihiyu v'nei Yisrael v'amidbar. I ask you to look at the Or HaChayim HaKadosh, who raises the question, what is conveyed by this piece of information and why is it necessary as an introduction to the whole episode of Mekoshesh Eitzim? Says the Or HaChayim. Kosher, it is difficult. Ma bo hakosav lahashmienu shahoyu Yisrael b'midbar. Why do we need to be told that the B'nai Yisrael were in the midbar? V'yispa'er, and this will be explained to you, al pi masha omru b'mesech eshavaz v'zele shaynam. Follow carefully. This is genius. Says the Or HaChayim HaKadosh, it will be explained by referring you to a gemara in Shabbos, daf tzadik vav amud beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Says Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. What was his sin? What was he doing wrong, this Mekoshesh? Mekoshesh ma'avir daladamas b'reshus haravim hoya. His sin was he carried the sticks, he carried the wood for amos in a public domain. That was the sin. Gam omru b'mesech Shabbos. Now I refer you to a Gemara earlier on in Gemara Shabbos, in Davov Amadvei. The Gemara says like this. One braisa reads, Tlatya uplatya zuhirishu sarabim. What is the definition of a public domain? It is a thoroughfare which is going through the city. The Hikshu b'shas. And the Gemara says there, V'lachshuv nami midbar. Why don't they include in the definition of what is a rishus harabim, a wilderness, which is also a rishus harabim? And I know this because we have another braisa which says, Ezehu rishus harabim. What is under the, what qualifies as a rishus harabim? And the braisa answers, Slatya, and midbar. So why didn't the first braisa mention midbar? The Tirates Abaye, and Abaye in the Gemara answers. Low kosher, the traditional Jewish response. No problem. Kan bizman shahoyu Yisrael shiruyim b'midbar. Kan bizman azeh. One price is referring to the time when the Jewish people were in the wilderness. That is when it had the status of Rishus HaRabim. And when the B'nai Yisrael are not there, and there were not those hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people, and midbar does not enjoy the status of Rishus HaRabim. Upirish Rashi v'zilishanam. Bisman ahu chashiv reshus harabim. At the time when the B'nai Yisrael were in the midbar, it was considered a reshus harabim. Bisman azeh, nowadays, eina makom hiluch l'rabim. It's no longer a place where the multitude passes through. That's it. Peirush, meaning, ubraise de getoni v'hamidbar. With a braise which listed the midbar amongst those areas which qualify as a reshus harabim, that was komashmalon de ikarabim etsuyim achshov v'hamidbar. Todir gam kein hu b'chlal reshus harabim. To tell you, but if there would be a multitude of people passing through the wilderness as they were when the B'nai Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim, then the wilderness would be considered a Rishus HaRabim. When Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the sin of the Mekoshesh was he was carrying Daladamas for Rishus HaRabim, you'll say to me, since when has a Midbar got the status of Rishus HaRabim? The answer is by Yehiyu v'nei Yisrael v'midbar. The b'nei Yisrael were in the midbar, and the Gemara says, Omar Abaye, when b'nei Yisrael were in the midbar, then it had the status of Rishus HaRabim. It's just sachtiv regiyonis it is. V'hum ashi yomar ha-kosuf. That's why the pasuk says, k'sherotzol ha-hodiya, avon ha-mekoshesh, when it wanted to indicate the sin of the Mekoshesh, shehum arved al-adamas, who the sin was that he was carrying four hammers the country of Yehuda, Hikdim Lomar, by Yehiyu Vene Yisrael, by Midbot, Hedish, Uvazem, Hushanech Shavlo Chilal HaShavas, Nishchayev Misa. That's the reason why his carrying was considered a sin worthy of Misa. Avolim lo, hoyu Yisrael by Midbar. But if Bnei Yisrael were not in the Midbar, hagam shahoyo mavi daladam sham, even if he was carrying daladamas, eino chayiv she'ein lo din reshus harem. However, this is not the end of the story, but we leave the Orachayim here and the rest I'll say out. The Orachayim says like this, that solves the problem. According to the man, the Yomar, according to the opinion that he was carrying Daladamas. But there are two or three other opinions about what the sin of the Mekoshesh was. Either that he was plucking out trees from where they were growing, or that he was piling up wood, which is the Av Melacha of Me'ameir. So what's that got to do with Vayihiyu Vnei Yisrael Bamidbar? Says the Orachayim HaKodesh in his classic way, the truth of the matter is, there is a halacha in Kisui Hadam. When you come to cover over the blood of an oaf or a chaya that you've shechted, you can only use earth in which something can grow, and you're not allowed to use earth from a midbar, because nothing grows in a midbar. Nothing grows in a midbar. So how is the Mekoshesh Toleish Min HaMechubar? How was he plucking up things which were growing? How was he Ma'amir? How was he piling up things which had been growing? The answer is, when the Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar, there was the Be'erah Shel Miriam, the well in the Zechus of Miriam, which came with them and which watered the entire area and caused things to grow. So according to the man the Yoma that it was Toleish, and according to the man the Yoma that it was Ma'amir, you still have to ask the question, and how come that there was something to pluck out? And how come that there was something to pile up? The answer is because Vayihiyu Vnei Yisrael Bamidbar. And because the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, the Be'er Shel Miriam was with them, and that's why things were growing there, whereas under normal circumstances they do not. And that is why you will see in Parshas Chukat, when Miriam dies, they come with a complaint and they say, Lo Mokum Zera Huseino, etc., etc., there's no place, nothing grows here. Why didn't they ever come with the Taina before? Because as long as the Be'er Shel Miriam was with them, things did grow. So the introductory words by Yehiyu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar go according to every man the Yomar. Whether it was Mavid Aladamas Bereshus Haravim, whether it was Toleish, or whether it was Miyamer, whatever it is. Wonderful. Now, I want to conclude with a number of observations on the most famous parsha of the whole parsha, the parsha of Tzitzis. And here I guarantee one or two items of information will certainly emerge. Now, the first thing I want to do is, I want to draw your attention to Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. I guarantee there are items here, Misukim Midrash. First of all, is Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Lemor. And as you know from previous weeks, we have often asked the question about why does it say Davir V'yomarto, and the Orachayim HaKadosh has been on that particular matter immediately. And here the Orachayim HaKadosh draws our attention to the uniqueness of the opening words of Parshas Tzitzis. Because you know and I know, or you should know, that whenever we have a mitzvah being introduced into the Torah, the usual nusach is Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe. And this is the only place where it doesn't say Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, but Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Says the Orachayim HaKadosh, I make no apologies for opening him up again. I've told you the Orachayim HaKadosh is long, but not long-winded. He's got something to say. Fabulous. Tam Shinui Parsha Zu Sha'omar Vayomer, Mashain Kein Bechol HaTeyre, Shebechulon Huomer Vayedaber. Why would it say Vayomer, which is a gentle mode of address, as opposed to Vayedaber, implying that there is something which is uplifting and which gladdens the heart in Tzitzis more than any other mitzvah? I mean, that's the implication. Says the Yerachayim HaKadosh, Yispa'er al pi ma'amorom zal tonne de ve'eliyo. It will be explained by what is found in the tonne de ve'eliyo. Who ask? Why is the parsha of Tzitzis put next to the parsha of the gentleman who was Mechalel Shabbos? That's the tonne de ve'eliyo's catch. Shomru, and they answer the following way, Kishara'o Moshe Maisa HaMekoshesh. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that a man had gone out in Shabbos with him as Mechalel Shabbos, is the first time that it happens. And I got to tell you something else, which comes as a surprise to you. Not that it was the first time that it happened, but it was the last time. Now, Shechachma points out, and this is the second year that in the wilderness, for the next 39 years, there was no Chilul Shabbos because no record of it is kept. It's not mentioned. Because the roshim that was made on the people because of what happened to the Mekoshesh Eitzim was so major that it was the first and only time it happened in the Midgal. Something that people don't realize. But what happened? Here's a man is Mekoshesh. Omar lifnei Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bimei hachol, during weekdays, lo v'shu Yisrael tfilin v'zochem ha-mitzvos, Jewish people wear tfilin and they remember the commandments. Oh, but we've seen we've got a problem. On Shabbos, how will they remember? You can't wear tefillin on Shabbos. The Heishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, Hareini nosein lohem mitzvah tzitzis. I'll give them the laws of tzitzis. Sheba yizkeru. Because when they will wear tzitzis, that will also cause them to remember l'man tzitzkeru v'asasim is called mitzvah soy. That's the ton of the Ve'elio. So therefore, receiving the mitzvah of tzitzis is a moment of great joy for Bnei Yisrael, because this is a mitzvah which is going to guarantee that even on Shabbos they will have a constant reminder of their duty as Jews. Lo ze omar, that is why the parsha of tzitzis is introduced with the word vayomer, Hedush meaning amira hamisaedes es halev mevukuso. Because what happens is that the parsha of tzitzis was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in response to a request. The Bnei Yisrael have tefillin on weekdays. And they remember, when they wear tefillin, they remember that they've got an obligation to give the mitzvahs. But look what happened to the Mekoshesh. And I maintain the reason why it happened to him is because he wasn't wearing tefillin. He had no reminder of his obligations. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine. Tefillin you can't have on Shabbos, you're perfectly right. I'll give you another mitzvah where through which you will remember your duties and which you will be able to observe on Shabbos, and that's the mitzvah. Now we come, we'll go a little bit over, but I'm hoping you'll agree it's the worst part. We come now to the most famous Inyan in Tzitzis, and that's Techeles. Okay. So you'll say to me, what color is Techeles? Well, I mean, none of us have been Zeicher, that we're not Regina Chassidim, but we say blue. The Gemara says Techeles Daimel or Rakia. The Techeles is comparable to the color of the sky. Okay, what does that mean? Says the Rambam, very nicely, seemingly non-controversial, as all rabbis should be, V'zuhi demus horokia hanireish le'ein hashemish b'toharo shel rokia. What they call in English azure blue. The blue of sky at noon. And I must tell you, that's the way I always learned. I now refer you to the last Rashi in the Parsha. Vesil Techeles, the very last Rashi in the Parsha. Vesil Techeles. Says Rashi, you know what the word Techeles is? Al shem shikul v'choros. It's a word which means bereavement. Bereavement. Targum shel shikul is chichla. Umakosom hoyaso balayla. And the bereavement of the Mitzriim was at night. Vechein seva hatecheles. And this is the color of techeles. Domil arokia hamashkirli yeseres. It's the color of the sky at night. It's what we call midnight blue. Gehet avot? Midnight blue. So said about Del. First of all, midnight blue basically. Oh, but what's it going to matter? Bechayrus, mitzitzus, goodness me. So this requires a certain amount of understanding. But Rashi is willing to suggest that the blue that is referred to is not the blue of midday, but the blue of night. And furthermore, it has to be the blue of night because it is related to the whole union of Makkas Bechoros. The answer, I'm happy to tell you, is in an Orach Chaim. And I want you to look at the Orach Chaim in the words, V'hoyo lochem letzitzis. And they shall be for you as tzitzis. Did you ever hear such a statement? And you make tzitzis, and they shall be to you as tzitzis. You should make a house, and it shall be to you as a house. V'hoyo lochem letzitzis. Says the Yorachayim, Ein Yodua Mechuvin Ma'amar Zeh, Sheyihiyeh Letzitzis. I don't understand what the Torah means. And they shall be for you, as tzitzis. But I have an answer. Hu Ledivrei HaTesvis Shekosvu V'Mesechis Menachis Daf Mem Gimel Amed Beis V'Divrei Rabbi Meir Shom HaShom. Tesvis make an observation of following Ma'amar Chazal. The Gemara says like this, Godol Onsho Shalavon Yoser Meyonsho Shel Techeles. A person who doesn't put in the white tzitzis, he is punished even more than a person who doesn't put in the blue thread. Because the blue thread is much harder to come by. And they give you a marshal why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more angry with the person who doesn't put in the white thread than the person who doesn't put in the blue. What's the marshal? Marshal of Melech, it can be compared to a king, Sha'omar Lishnei Avodah, who said to his two servants, Li'echad, he said, to one he said, Haveli Chosim Shalchit, bring me a seal made of plaster. And to the other he said, bring me a seal of gold. So both of them didn't do what they were told. Who gets the bigger punishment? The one who didn't bring the seal of plaster, because that you can get for pennies. Seal of gold. Says the Taisa. What are you talking about? I'm talking about tzitzis. You're talking about seals. When it compares a seal to tzitzis, because seals were made for slaves. They carried around a seal as a sign that they were slaves. And the tzitzis is our seal. The tzitzis meyid al Yisrael sheheim avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, kavlo diavdo. Kavlo diavdo means the seal of a slave. So when the pasuk says v'hoyo lachem letzitzis, the first pasuk meant v'asu lachem tzitzis, you shall put in fringes. V'hoyo lachem letzitzis, and your tzitzis is your seal. That reminds you that you are a slave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And does it come as any surprise, therefore, that it should say u'reisem oso u'zechartem eskol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osom? Because if in reality the purpose of the tzitzis is to be your seal and the sign that you realize that you are a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand that it is to be the seal which reminds. Now, if the tzitzis is a seal of slavery, when did our slavery to HaKadosh Baruch Hu begin? Ki avodai heim hasher otzeisi yisam meyeretz Yisrael. The very moment when the shackles of slavery were broken in Egypt was the moment when we exchanged slavery of Pharaoh for slavery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when did that happen? Makkas Bechoros. That was the moment when Pharaoh finally gave up and said, Kumu tse'u mitaychami gamatem, etc. So if you want to know why Rashi says that the Techeles is the midnight blue and it's related to Makkas Bechoros, the answer is with the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Namely, that since the purpose of tzitzis is our seal, that we are slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we exchange the seal of slavery of Egypt for the seal of slavery to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is something which began at the moment of Makkas Bechoros, when Pharaoh finally disavowed himself of having the Bnei Yisrael as slaves, and we went our way. So therefore you have a very beautiful interpretation as to how Rashi can suggest that Techeles is none other than midnight blue. Let me then conclude with something which is rather academic but fascinating. And that is in the Rambam at the right-hand corner of the page. We'll go through it very swiftly. As you know, the vitacheles, when it was available, was made from the dye taken from the legendary item known as the chilozon. Okay. Says the Torah to Mima. Nah, you're not balabos. The yayin barambam perig beis halochadalad michichis. If you look at the Rambam there, you'll see the hachilozon nimso b'yam hamelach. The chilozon is found in the Yam HaMelech, which we translate as the Dead Sea. Says the Torah to Mima, who pelas, the chas. I don't believe it. The Mefurish Isa of Megillah, because the Gemara says in Megillah that the Chilazon is found in the Chelik of Zvulun. And the Yam HaMelech is in the Chelik of Yehuda, as we find in Parshas Masei. The Gam Yeshraya Machrachas, the HaChilazon imsa b'Yam HaGadol. And I got a more conclusive proof that the Chilazon is found in the Mediterranean, because it says there, Yogavin. Who are Yogavin, asks the Gemara. Elu tzayadei chilozon, they are the people who hunt the chilozon, misulma de tzur biad Haifa. They fly in between Tyre and Haifa. Tyre and Haifa, friends, not in the Dead Sea. At least they weren't the last time we visited. So to shnei ela hamakomas, yodua shahim shemuchal and yagodl, they're both on the Mediterranean. Ulefizem, echuvan o'inyan, and therefore it is obvious. Now we know why the chilazon is said to be found in the chelik of Zvulun. Because the Mediterranean is the chelik of Zvulun. So what does the Rambam mean when he says that the chilazon is found in Yam HaMelech? Acho emes hu, the emes is, shirogil ho Rambam likro le Yam HaGadol Yam HaMelech. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's fascinating. I thought it was fascinating. The Rambam refers to the Mediterranean as Yam HaMelech. Shekein kosav v'sof perusho le-mishnah. And I prove it to you from a few places. You know, when he completed his Mishnah, his perush on the Mishnah, he writes like this. V'ani oliti v'svinah v'yam HaMelech. And I've just come to Eretz Yisrael and I've got off the boat in Yam HaMelech. Now, Vidova Yodua, who, and everybody knows, we haven't been on pleasure cruises in the Yam HaMelech for decades. Shebi Yam HaMelech ain't Spinoz Obro. Ships don't fly the Yam HaMelech. Kimabu Bipsochim, and in Shabbos. The Gam Yodua, who, and it's also well known, the Nasiyah Sarambam, Eish Shechive Pirushu ala Mishneh, Hoyasa Bederech Mitzrayim Lieret Israel. He finished his Pirush ala Mishneh while he was going from Egypt, where he had lived for many years. Sorry, he lived for many years, and we go to Mishneh there to serve. Shisham over Ayam HaGadol. He went to Egypt, sorry. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael. That was when he was fleeing from North Africa. Stayed in Eretz Yisrael a little while. Left his father there. And then went down to permanently remain in Mitzrayim. But he finished the mission which he had started in North Africa. He finished it when he made his first visit to Eretz Yisrael. Harei Altan Mavur Shatora Liyam HaGadol Yam HaMelech. And he just said, I've got off the ship in Yam HaMelech. He must be talking about the Mediterranean. The kachkos of mefurish beferusha lemishnah aleph peirik esvav de kelim. And look what he says in his commentary to Mishnah Aleph of the 15th peirik of Kelim. He says like this: Shas the finos. This is his words. Ships after yelichu behem meyel jisrael Alexandria shemitzrayim. That the ships that go from Israel to Alexandria in Egypt hein hasfinos hagadolos. They are large. Shehein yiknesu besot Yam HaMelech, and they go by way of the Yam HaMelech. Now you know and I know, you can only get to Alexandria from Eretz Yisrael, Mediterranean. V'nalahu mi'al kol sofik, and there is no question, shemi Eretz Yisrael Alexandria over Yam HaGadol. You can only go via the Mediterranean. V'lochein therefore behechrut tzolich lomar, shekore le Yam HaGadol Yam HaMelech. And now we have to ask what? I mean, it's all very well said, yes. V'ulai tamo v'kinu shem zeh, it could be that the reason why he gives this name to the Mediterranean is min penei shegam meimei Yam HaGadol meluchim hein kemo shekotov shom. It is to remind you that the waters of the Mediterranean are also salt. The eich shehu, however, whatever interpretation you will give me, the fact of the matter is ein sofik kemo shekotov tikan shachilozen nimtza beYam HaMelech. When he says that, kavanasa leYam HaGadol. So now you know that Yam HaMelech, according to the Rambam, is not the Dead Sea, but in fact is the Mediterranean. We leave it over here.